This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
The gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So it's been busy for us here at the Paracast. Last week we had just a fascinating episode with Stan Gordon. Stan, of course, lives in western Pennsylvania, and he has been exploring the strange and the unknown for many thousands of years. And he has a wealth of cases going back to the 60s in Kecksburg. And you just say with Stan, what's next? And you sit back and you hang out, and he's got reports that are just incredible. So we're going to do something really different this week. Jeff Bellinger is back on the Paracast, and I read something from the prologue of his latest book. It's just after 3 a.m, and I'm as cold as I've ever been in my life. I'd estimate we're about the 18,000-foot level. I can't breathe. I'm fighting for every molecule of oxygen. Jeff, I was feeling fright because I don't like heights. I'm afraid of heights. I'm reading this book and I'm saying, oh my God, I am so happy I didn't do that, but you did. You dare to write a book about it because you recovered.
Yeah, I did. Spoilers, I didn't die.
Well, you see, on this show, the Paracast, you never know.
No, right. That's right. This would be the most amazing, compelling EVP ever, right? Or not. It's just my experience. Yeah, so Kilimanjaro. It was the most spiritually and physically transformative experience of my life. I did it. In fact, 4 years ago today, I was on the mountain. It was one of these things that you think about. I thought about it anyway my whole life. I mean, growing up in the 80s, remember Toto's song, Africa, right? That great song.
That had an amazing drum track.
Yeah. Yeah.
There is a young woman from Germany, Sina, and she does covers of spectacular drum tracks. And you see her doing this one for the Toto drum track. And you watch what she's doing because it's shown in detail with multiple cameras. And that is just amazing.
Yeah, it's a great song. It holds up because it's got covered by Weezer and everything else. But there's a line in that song, and I remember it even as a kid. You know, sure as Kilimanjaro rises like Olympus above the Serengeti, right? And so I heard about Kilimanjaro my whole life, and I was a hiker. I started hiking around college and then after college, and I love the idea of just kind of getting up into mountains and getting away from civilization for just a little bit. It's weird how things sort of conspire or transpire. I don't even know, both really, along the way to kind of get you in a specific place. In college, we were talking just before we started about taking foreign language. I took French because my last name, Bellinger, which is Bélanger in French. But I've been in America so long, like my great grandparents were born in America. It became Bellinger. And so, I took French and failed. I took Spanish. It was too close to French. I was getting confused, and I asked a friend, you know, I have a language requirement for graduating. And they said, take Swahili. The professor's amazing. And I said, Swahili, where do they even speak that? And she said, Eastern Africa, Kenya, Tanzania, Ghana, that area. And I went, oh, that sounds weird. Let's do it. And I took French, and the professor was amazing. I ended up taking 4 classes with this guy. Gene, you're old enough. I don't mean to date you, but you're old enough to know who he is. Not necessarily who this professor is, but you know his background. His name's Dr. Robert Leonard. The first day of class, I knew his background before, but we sit down in class and someone kind of sheepishly puts their hand up and he smiles, almost like knowing what's coming. And they said, Dr. Leonard, is it true you were the founder of the band Sha Na Na? And he smiles and he puts the syllabus down and he says, okay, let's do this now. Sha Na Na, the doo-wop group from the 60s, and had the TV show in the 70s and 80s.
Well, I remember Bowser.
Bowser. Everyone remembers Bowser. He was not Bowser, but everyone remembers Bowser. This guy was the co-founder of Sha Na Na, performed at Woodstock right before Jimi Hendrix. Hello, who could say that? When they got the TV series, he's like, I can't take this anymore. I'm going to Kenya to kind of find myself and teach English. And so he did that. He learned Swahili, came back, and he's this amazing linguist. All these things sort of transpired. But, you know, you go through your life thinking about things on your bucket list and things you want to do. But then you get a wake-up call sometimes. For me, that happened when my brother-in-law, Chris, got sick with cancer. And that started around 2013. It was October, as a matter of fact. He was 44 years old at the time. He was losing some weight, was going through some strange stomach issues. He goes to the doctor. They get tests. They get more tests. And the doctor calls him one day at work and says, Chris, whatever you're doing, just stop and come down here right now. Don't make an appointment. Don't wait for, you know, the day to end. Just get here now. And he knows that's not good. Doctors don't do that ever. And so he gets to the doctor's office and the doctor tells him, Chris, you've got tumors. They're fully metastasized, stage 4. It's everywhere. You've got 18 to 24 months to live. It's a shock to all of us because no one saw that coming, from like a few stomach issues to stage 4 cancer at 44. I mean, who sees that, right? And so we sort of rallied around Chris. Chris, funny guy, you know, always liked having him around at family events and stuff like that. And I always figured, well, we'll get closer one day, you know, smart guy. But facing a 2-year death sentence, you suddenly realize we're not going to have time to get closer. And it's a funny thing, right, Gene, about 2 years. 2 years is like a long time and not a long time simultaneously. It exists in two equal states at the same time. It comes up quicker than you think. And so Chris starts going through this process, the chemo, the radiation, this process of dying. Let's be honest. Let's call it what it is. And he calls me and he says, Jeff, I know you're a paranormal guy. And I am. I mean, that's my background, ghosts and haunted places and legends. And he says, you're into some weird stuff. And I said, yeah, that's fair. I definitely am into some weird stuff. And he said, I'm going through something pretty weird. And I said, yeah, that's true. That's definitely true as well. And so he and I started talking a lot about this whole process of dying. My sister was sort of checked out on the whole thing. She was sort of in denial, didn't want to think about it. They had a 3-year-old kid at the time of the diagnosis, just thinking about, oh my gosh, you know, I'm going to be a single mother. My kid's not going to have a father. All these horrible things that you can imagine you might think of. And Chris and I started talking a lot about this death and dying. About a year of time, he was pretty depressed in a pretty dark place. But then after a year, he starts to kind of come out of it and accept what's happening to him as his body's just all the while degrading, you know, as he's losing weight and it's getting worse. And all the time we're talking a lot and it's really nice. And I'm thinking, why didn't we talk like this years ago? And maybe it's because, you know, we were waiting for this. I don't know. You second guess everything when you're faced with something as inevitable and profound and horrible as a forthcoming loss. And that later that fall, now we're into 2015. I got tickets to a football game preseason. It's all I could afford. But I got tickets to the Patriots Giants preseason game. And Chris is a longtime Giants fan and I'm a Patriots fan. And I had to take him in a wheelchair to the stadium. And so, you know, run him in a wheelchair, then run the wheelchair back to the car and then do it all in reverse. And funny thing about cancer is that when you love someone who's going through cancer, they get reduced to numbers. They get reduced to, you know, these markers are up or those markers are down, and you're just numbers, numbers, numbers. And it was nice to just spend a few hours at a football game, just being two guys watching football instead of a guy with cancer. So that was a nice break, because after that, he kind of went downhill quickly. And in December, he had to go into the hospital because his organs are starting to fail. And he calls me and he said, Jeff, something really weird happened. I want to talk to you about it. And I said, what happened? He said, last night I had an out of body experience. What do you mean? What happened? He said, I was 20 feet over my bed, which makes no sense because the ceiling of the hospital room couldn't be any more than maybe 10 feet.
Jeff, let's do our break now.
Do it.
Jeff Belanger, author of The Call of Kilimanjaro, Finding Hope Above the Clouds. With Gene and Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Is your child defiant, independent, annoyingly inquisitive? After a long, hard day of following the rules, who wants to deal with troublesome kids? 49% of children suffer from oppositional defiant disorder, or ODD. Symptoms of ODD include independent thought, rampant creativity, and failure to submit to authority. But now there's a solution. The good people at Pilfer can help you with their time-release, once-daily capsule, Compliacin. Your child won't be able to form his own opinions, let alone express them. It maintains your child's ability to go to a state-run school and perform simple tasks around the house. You won't have to worry about parenting, and the school won't have to deal with your kid asking questions. Compliacin. You'll go from this.
Quit telling me what to do! Quit telling me what to do! Quit telling me what to do!
To this.
Good morning, Mother. I love going to school. And this week we're learning all about how the government is our federal family and they're here to help us.
Compliacin. Talk to your school psychiatrist and ask for it by name.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
We are going to take a trip into the mountains. Now, it's going to be one that will be virtual because he did it, Jeff Belanger. I did not because I'm afraid of heights. You know, 100 feet is too much for me. I don't dig it. But now we're talking about your brother-in-law.
Yes.
And your brother-in-law is suffering from stage 4 cancer.
Yeah.
And we were at the point where you were going to
a preseason football game, and let's move to this experience he had out of body. Go on,
yeah. Chris. So it's December of 2015, and Chris has to go into the hospital because his organs are failing him. And he calls me maybe the second day there, and he says, I got to tell you about this thing that happened last night. And he said, I suddenly realized I was out of my body, looking down at myself. And I said, what happened? He said, I was 20 feet above my body, looking down. And he said, I know that doesn't make sense because the ceiling of the hospital room couldn't be more than 10 feet. And I was double that. And he said, but there I was. I said, what happened? What'd you do? He said, I'm afraid of heights. Like you, Gene. He said, I was scared and it was over. It was over in just a second. And I said, oh, okay. That's interesting. And then he called me the day after that and he said, okay, it's happening again. Now it's more than once a day. I'm not as scared anymore. I'm just sort of out. And I said, what do you do? What's happening? And he said, I'm just very aware that I am outside of my body looking down at it. And then I can sort of move around a little bit. He's like, I just sort of let the experience be what it'll be. I don't try to force anything. It's just that. And then after about a week in the hospital, the doctors tell him there's nothing more they can do. It's time to go home to hospice care. And that's a tough thing to hear for everybody, right? Because you know what that means. It means that just they said your organ failure is imminent. So they got a hospital bed for Chris in his room and an oxygen machine and a hospice nurse and things like that. And just all you can do at this point is just try to make him comfortable. I remember it was maybe the 16th or so of December, maybe 15th. I was going down to Connecticut where he lives. And it's hard when you know you're going to a visit like this and you know what it is. You know what it means. This is the last time I'm going to see him. It's abundantly clear. And we sat and we talked for like 3 hours. And it was one of the most profound conversations I've had in my life. And we talked about everything. My sister wasn't there. She was going to leave the house and go do some grocery shopping and things while I was there. And which is fine. She doesn't want to hear it anyway. But Chris knew he could talk to me about these crazy things because of my background. And I said, are you still having the out-of-body experiences? And he said, yeah, all day long. It's happening again and again, multiple times. And I said, okay. And he said, but now I'm seeing things. I said, what do you mean seeing things? He said, well, first I saw my cat from childhood. And I went, oh. And he said, the weirdest thing is, he said, I never even liked that cat. But there it was. I said, okay. And I said, anything else? He said, well, I saw my grandmother. And he was close with his grandmother. I said, did she say anything? Did you do anything? And he said, no, she was just there. And he said, I don't know what it means, just that she was there. I said, well, what do you think all these out-of-body experiences mean, these things that have been going on for the last couple of weeks now? And he said, I feel like there's something inside this broken machine that's getting ready to get out and stay out. And he wanted to tell me that. And he wanted me to tell my sister when she was ready to hear it. By the way, she still isn't ready to hear it. I've tried. But he wanted me to tell others, which is why I'm telling you and why I put it in my book. Chris, I wouldn't have called him an atheist when I met him. Devout agnostic, maybe. Borderline atheist. But near the end of his journey, he got so deeply spiritual because of this thing that he was going through. And after, you know, a year plus of horrible depression after getting the diagnosis, to see him get so enlightened at the end was really encouraging. And I remember when I walked into the room that day and his skin was completely yellow from jaundice, but the sun was shining through the windows and hitting his skin, and he was glowing golden in color, Gene, golden. And I know no human being is supposed to look like that. And my cerebral brain knows it's because there's toxins that are not getting removed by his kidneys and by his liver. And that's what's causing this color. But he was so at peace. And those next few days, everyone who cared about him got to see him. And it was nothing but compassion and no grudges, no negativity at all. And then on the 20th of December, he passed away. And that was hard for all of us. And so I thought back to that conversation about how I was looking at him and going, this guy is dying. He's dying right in front of me. And then I realized, you know what? I'm dying too. I mean, sure, not as quickly as Chris, but I've been dying since the day I was born, and he's just a couple years older than me. And so it's those things sort of hit you. It's this wake-up call, like, wait a minute, I don't know how long I have. I don't know when I'm going to get that call from my doctor that, hey, man, you know, sorry that you got a death sentence now. And so it's sort of like one of these wake-up calls that we get when we lose someone close to us. And so so fast forward about 8 months after his death, and I was doing a paranormal event where we were bringing people into this historic haunt in Massachusetts, and we were raising money for the historic preservation and things like that. And my friend Amy from the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, she's there, and she says, hey, Jeff, we're doing another fundraiser. And I did this Light the Night Walk for them a couple years earlier, where you literally walk 2 miles in downtown Worcester, Massachusetts, holding a balloon with a little glow stick in it. And people were very generous. I think we raised like $1,000 to fight blood cancer. And so she's like, we've got a new thing. And I said, Amy, I'm so busy. I got so much going on. I'll help if I can. But, you know, and she said, we're climbing Mount Kilimanjaro. And I just stopped dead in my tracks. And I said, okay. When? She said, March 2017. I said, okay, how much? And she told me it was a lot of money, but not a staggering amount. And I said, so cross this big item off my bucket list, raise money for cancer research, do this in memory of my brother-in-law that had just died months ago. And I don't know, Gene, the universe doesn't put too many things on a golden platter for you like that too often. And there was nothing to say to her, but I'm in. Let's do this.
Let me ask you a little bit of a background here. You've hiked. Have you ever climbed any mountains before?
So in New England, sure. So the tallest mountain in New England is Mount Washington, which is about 6,400 feet in elevation. And it's a great mountain. I've done it multiple times. And I've done other mountains that are 4,000 footers, 3,000 footers. And again, these are hiking. You know, it's not like precariously hanging from cliffs with you know, ropes and things like that. It's just you got to be able to just get yourself to the top. And I knew Kilimanjaro was one of the tallest mountains that you can hike. It's not a technical climb. You can walk to the top. And
okay, we're gonna start climbing a mountain, folks.
Yes.
I will, of course, cover my eyes when we do this. Jeff, Gene, and Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
China has announced sanctions against two members of the U.S. Commission on International Religious Freedom in retaliation for American sanctions levied because of China's human rights violations against ethnic religious minorities. Gail Manchin, the chair of the USCIRF, and Vice Chair Tony Perkins have been banned from entering mainland China, Hong Kong, or Macau. The Chinese Foreign Ministry also announced sanctions against a Canadian member of parliament for similar criticisms of the Chinese regime. The USCIRF has been one of the leading voices in a global effort demanding an end to China's abuses against the Uyghur people in the traditionally Muslim region of Xinjiang. And the Department of Justice says that it has charged nearly 500 people with COVID-related fraud. In a statement, the department said that over 140 defendants are facing charges for unemployment insurance fraud, and another 120 have been charged with defrauding the Paycheck Protection Program, intended to help keep small businesses afloat during the pandemic. This is USA Radio News. Former President Donald Trump has some harsh criticism for the current administration over President Biden's handling of illegal immigration. In an interview with Fox News on Saturday, Trump said that he'll likely visit the southern border in the next few weeks because many in the Border Patrol have invited him down. He also criticized President Biden for ending the Remain in Mexico policy that he established with Mexico and ending construction of the border wall when it was so close to completion.
The wall is just a few weeks away from being completed. He didn't want to complete it. It took 2.5 years to start because the Congress, the Democrats in Congress, Pelosi and everybody, sued us 11 different times. So after we won all the lawsuits we started, they should finish the wall, number one, and they should have the stay-in policy reinserted, because if you don't have that, this is going to be a disaster.
This is USA Radio News.
You hear the headlines. You know health insurance is a real mess right now. Premiums have skyrocketed, and in most cases, you're stuck with your plan until open enrollment. But there's a government rule that allows you to qualify for lower health insurance rates if your life has changed. That means if you've changed jobs, if you're having a child, if you're getting married, if you're getting divorced, even if you run a small business or you're self-employed, this law may qualify you to get lower health insurance rates. Call the Health Insurance Hotline today. Learn how this 10-minute call can help you get lower health insurance rates. This is a free service to help consumers learn the laws to help them qualify for lower health insurance rates. So call right now to learn more. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. Call 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946.
This is Micah Hanks of the Gray Alien Report, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Jeff Belanger, author of The Call of Kilimanjaro, he's telling us about the plans to climb a mountain. Now, I wasn't going to ask this, but I'm going to ask. I decide I want to climb a mountain. I'm crazy. My life has changed. Yeah, I really want to do this. You have to get a guide and everything, but what does it cost me? I want to go climb a mountain like that. What's it going to cost me to do it?
Yeah, no, that's fair. We were told, by the way, about $4,500 plus the plane ticket. And $4,500 covers the hotel in Moshi, Tanzania, covers the guides, the food, everything. But you also need the gear, which would cost close to another $1,000, and the plane ticket, which was like another $1,000. Realistically, all in, I would say closer to $7,000 is what this trip would cost when it was all said and done, about $7,000.
Let's see, I can buy a Mac Pro for that, kind of modestly equipped. Okay. I'm just thinking of what I can get instead of climbing a mountain and scaring myself to death. I understand here, I live in and around the Phoenix area.
Yep.
I can go to, say, what, Sedona, riding a highway between cliffs. I hate doing that. I've done it a few times. I won't do it anymore. If someone wants to drive me, I'll do it. I'll wear goggles or something, or blindfolds. I don't want to do it anymore. I prefer the Stargate. The Stargate is simple. You simply go in the Stargate, and you go through the wormhole. You come out 10 seconds later, and you're in another galaxy. Forget about the Mount Kilimanjaro. I also think, as you were talking about this, we'll get into more of the trip in a second, the mountain climbing scene from The Princess Bride.
Right.
Okay? All right?
Yep.
Cary Elwes and Mandy Patinkin and Andre the Giant and Wallace Shawn.
Yes.
Yeah. Robin Wright.
Yes, Robin Wright. Who knew? She was... Yeah, that's right.
And it was directed by Meathead himself, Rob Reiner.
That's right. Yeah, we one of forget. The most iconic movies. Yeah. No, it wasn't like that. We weren't crawling up a cliff face. Well, there was one part, the Barranca Wall, that was a little bit like that. But I guess, you know, it's funny. I'm not a huge fan of heights either, but when I'm on a mountain, I don't feel that. on a building I do. It's man-made. It feels like it could fall, but a mountain doesn't ever feel like it could fall to me. So I guess it's a little bit different.
Let me give you the psychic phenomenon before we get on.
Sure.
Okay. 2001, you get the connection.
Yep.
And this is summer of 2001. The wife, myself, my son Grayson, were visiting New York. Mm-hmm. And I've been to the World Trade Center before, so you see where this is going.
Yeah, sure do. Yeah.
And I tolerated it. I went to the tower. You have to go up the elevator, and then you go up an escalator. I remember this. So climb the elevator, and then I was nervous as anything. I couldn't go on. I couldn't take that escalator. So Barbara and Grayson went up there, and I sat at a coffee shop on that last level of the elevator before you get to the escalator. And I couldn't take it. I couldn't wait until we left that building. Not just went downstairs, went down the elevator to the ground floor, but left that building before I felt comfortable. This was maybe, I don't know, a month or two before 9/11. I don't say that there was anything there, that I perceived something happening. Maybe it's just one of those things.
No, I don't know. You're right. I get that feeling in tall buildings, too. I'm not totally comfortable in them because they're, again, they're man-made and things can happen. And, of course, now with terrorism and things like that. But I don't have that same feeling when I'm on a mountain. It doesn't matter how high. It's just so solid under my feet that I don't have the same fear I do that if when I'm in like a really tall building.
Well, you don't have to worry that the construction was done by the lowest bidder.
That's right.
Or the construction company that bribed the city or the town council to get a building permit. You don't have to worry about that.
No. Nope.
It's Mother Nature doing it, and it's either going to work or it's not.
Well, let me add one more wrinkle to Mount Kilimanjaro. It is indeed a volcano, and it's dormant. It is not extinct. So there's that. You know, you think about it, it crosses your mind that if this thing goes off, as fast as I can run just wouldn't make a difference. It hasn't gone off in a couple hundred years. So, again, spoilers, it didn't go off when I was there and I survived.
Well, otherwise, this would be a fascinating book. Not that it's not fascinating. That would be one of the few books that came from the afterlife.
Yes, or yeah, alleged to. I've read a book or two that claims to be dictated by spirits. Tough to tell, but, you know.
Besides, how do you know?
How do you know? You don't.
I'm in the afterlife. I am now looking down at you, and I see what you're doing, and here's my book. Because I couldn't get it published while I was alive, but if I say it came from the afterlife, it'll get more credibility, and I'll get a publisher. Please go on with your story.
Yeah. Well, just one more point on that. I figure, like, any grammatical errors or spelling errors, you can just blame the spirits. Right, you could be like, "Well, that wasn't me. That comma should have been there. It was dictated by the spirits."
Yeah, but that doesn't remove the obligation of having an editor.
That's
on
right.
This plane of existence.
Yes, to edit is divine, for sure, for sure, for sure. Yeah. So
speak for yourself.
So where are we at this point?
You've gotten the trip funded.
Yes.
You're gonna go there. You got the guide.
Yep.
So you're ready to do this thing now. Let's go through this experience a little bit. I'm looking at the photograph, by the way, above the clouds, and I say, you know what? Still don't dig it.
That's okay. That's okay. I understand. It's not for everyone. So when we get there, Tanzania, it's beautiful, and yet the poverty is extreme. We're staying in a town called Moshi, and we had the chance the day before we started to actually climb the mountain. It's going to take 6 days to get to the top and 2 days to get back down. But we had the chance to go to a place called the Amani Center, which is for street children. And these kids, man, like, you know, some of them were literally in rags on the street and picked up and had a place to go. And it was pretty cool to sort of like make this local offering. It just felt important. You know, we got to play soccer with them and we emptied our wallets. And you realize I've never felt like a rich white guy before going to Tanzania. I've been in other countries before where I know that I have more money than most people there, but this was the first time I felt like a rich white guy. I am a white guy. Here I wouldn't be considered rich, but there for sure I was. There's just no question. And that was sort of eye-opening as well. It was a Monday when we start this journey. We get dropped off at a place called the Lemoshi Route, and there's 12 of us that are climbing for the Leukemia Lymphoma Society, and literally 48 guides, porters, cooks, people that are going to help us get a whole village that's going to help us get up this mountain, carrying tents and food and supplies, because there's nothing once you get started. It's 42 miles until you get back down on the other side. And we're probably 50 yards up the trail before I realize, like, oh my gosh, we're underway. I was going to take a picture of that first step or something, or video, anything. And we're 50 yards up the trail. And I went, we started, we've begun. I missed it. And I realized how scattered I am. I'm thinking about back home and the emails I'm missing and the work and all this other stuff. And, but then it slowly sort of comes into focus. Like, you know, when you come out of a movie theater on a bright afternoon and you're just blinded by the bright light, and slowly it just comes down to focus. And that's sort of how the Africa's feeling. I mean, this is the rainforest, and the ferns and stuff look a little bit familiar, but then there's these big trees that look so different. And then our guide shows us up ahead in a tree, and we see monkeys. And it's like, wow, monkeys. I mean, I've seen monkeys in the zoo and I've seen pictures, but I'm on their turf now. And it occurs to you, you know, like, wait a minute, if they want to jump on my face and rip it off, there's nothing stopping them. And so, so that was a new kind of experience. And we're going so slow, pole pole, they say in Swahili, it just means slow, slow. And just walking this path that's well-groomed, it's not that challenging yet. It's literally a walk in the park until we get to our first camp. And we're about...
Okay. All right. It's not a walk in the park, or maybe it is, but we're talking about the call of Kilimanjaro, Jeff Belanger, psychic, ghost hunting investigator, talking about a trip that to me is certainly paranormal, with Gene and Randall and Jeff. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on this special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Now, with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from AmeriCare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. AmeriCare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, AmeriCare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase Nano Colloidal Silver now at ImmuneSupportNow.com. That's ImmuneSupportNow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
If there's a sudden disaster and you can't get to the grocery store, or they're all out of food, what would you do? You'll wish you had emergency food to get you through the crisis. And that's why we're here. We're MyPatriotSupply.com, America's leading source of emergency food. Our food lasts for up to 25 years, and millions of families trust us for their disaster survival. Won't you join us? Unlike other food companies, we don't skimp on calories. Our meals give you more than 2,000 calories per day. Why? Because that's what you need to survive any challenging crisis. And right now, you can save $200 on our popular 3-month emergency food kit. Just go to MyPatriotSupply.com and place your order. We ship fast, 2 to 3 days max, and your food arrives discreetly right to your door. So order today and save $200 at MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hi, this is Tracy Torme, screenwriter, producer. You're listening to Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Jeff, Gene Randall, we're talking about Jeff's trip, and now you haven't really gone up way up the mountain yet, but you're in the early stages of this great journey. Please continue.
So, thank you. Yeah, so we're at the first camp, a place called Mti Mkubwa, which means big tree in Swahili, and I would rather cut off a finger than camp, by the way. It's not my idea of a good time. I'll hike all day long, from sun up till sundown, get sweaty and dirty, but then I want a shower and a hotel bar and a big feather bed. That's my preference, but there's no other way. We have to camp. I've got this self-inflating mattress pad that you put under your sleeping bag, and I'm like, how's that going to keep a 195-pound man off the dirt ground below?
The only thing I worry about with long hikes, what do you do about deodorant?
Oh, I had deodorant, but you don't shower. And they have these things. It's amazing what you learn. These wipes. It's like a, like wet wipes for babies or whatever, but they're a little bit bigger and you just wipe your body down. And that's the closest you're going to get to a shower while you're out there.
Probably in terms of cleaning yourself, it's probably just about as good.
Yeah, it is what it is. And you just got to sort of accept that this is your life right now. So that night, yeah, hardly slept, very uncomfortable on the ground. I'm not used to it. But the next day, we start off early, and it's a crisp morning, and we're getting higher and higher up. And as you get above the tree line, once we cross 10,000 feet, the trees get smaller and smaller until they're not there anymore. And the colors get muted, and the air gets thinner, and you start to sort of feel this that there's less oxygen around. I haven't seen the summit in 2 days, but finally we come around this corner and there's the summit, the tallest part of Kilimanjaro, there across the plain, and it's the closest I've ever seen it, and I'm just giddy, right? I mean, I feel like, imagine you're in a bar and your favorite celebrity of all time just happens to walk in while you're there, and that's how I felt, just like, there it is, oh my God, there it is. That camp the second night is a place called Shira One Camp. Kilimanjaro is actually 3 volcanoes. And it dates back a million years. So the earliest volcano was this one, Shira, the one we're standing on. This plain used to formerly be the top of a volcano. That went off and it was active for about 250,000 years. And then another one, a place called Mwenze Peak, went off, and that's on the other side of it. And then Kilimanjaro was 460,000 years ago, the biggest part in the middle. And so we're on this plain, and I got to tell you, once the sun set, I have never in my life seen a starry sky like that. Never. And I'm a stargazer. I love to be outside and just gaze at the stars. And we're on this big plane, so if you tilt your head up, you see nothing but the stars. There's no light pollution. There's no pollution. The air is so clean, and you're above 10,000 feet, and there's the Milky Way. There's the Southern Cross. The stars are the brightest I've ever seen in my entire life. And I'm just like a fool with my mouth open. Just, oh my God, I'm in space. When you tilt your head back, you're in it. You're absolutely in it. And it was incredible to see stuff like that. But the other thing that struck me, especially once we got about 2 days into this, is this strange feeling of stillness that I started to get, because I haven't checked email. There's no cell service. There's no Wi-Fi. There's nothing. I realize I'm starting to finally disconnect from that world back home. And that was a side effect I did not anticipate.
That's an interesting mindset, because we think about the fact that, and you're a young whippersnapper, but I grew up kind of the mindset here, and you're a young whippersnapper, Jeff, so of course you saw this to some degree, but not to the degree that I did. I grew up, it was an analog landline phone.
Sure.
If I wanted to call somebody outside of my city, I grew up in Brooklyn, New York. If I even wanted to call outside of Brooklyn, I had to pay a per minute rate to call someone in Manhattan, someone in the Bronx. I suppose you get the picture. I mean, talk about being nickel and dimed. I had to pay long distance charges of maybe a couple of bucks a minute. And So I wanted to call my friends as a teenager, my fellow paranormal followers around the country. Suddenly my parents would have a $100 bill. And remember, in 1965, a $100 bill was real money.
Yeah.
So it was quite a difference. So of course, you're now climbing Kilimanjaro, and you're in a situation here where suddenly you're without all of these accessories of modern life that have become indispensable, like me going to sleep and next to me is my iPhone.
Right.
Who could have thunk it? Go ahead, please.
No, so that was one of the moments. After about 2 days on the mountain, I started to realize that there's this stillness, this really peaceful stillness, that I wasn't worried so much about home. I wasn't worried about the emails I'm missing, the work I'm missing. I'm sort of... And it's so quiet up there, too. Once you get above the tree line, there's no animals. There's no nothing. There's no jets flying overhead. There's no cars that you can hear. No city noise. Nothing. The only sound is whatever sound the wind makes when it hits you or the underbrush nearby. And that quiet and stillness, I would come to realize in the coming days, is starting to sort of seep into me. And that was a byproduct that I just did not anticipate, that wow, this is nice. I feel this, like, this strange reset happening slowly. And you just sort of notice that I'm not reaching for my phone. I'm not looking for it. I don't care. I don't need it. I have what I need. What I need is in my backpack. I've got some snacks and a rain shell, and I've got some layers of clothing, and I've got water, and I've got pictures of my family, and I've got pictures of my brother-in-law, Chris, and my nephew. And that's what I need. And I'm just a human being walking in the world. And what's amazing too is I start to realize, you know, our earliest human ancestors started walking out of Africa, not too far from where I am. You know, like that's where it all started, if you go far enough back. And I suddenly feel this like connection to where I am, that this is where I'm supposed to be.
You're coming home again.
Coming up to the roots of the roots, man, all the way back. And it was really, that was a special feeling. And it carried with me for days. You know, as we get further up the mountain, it's almost like this mantra, right? You're just walking, you're breathing, and you're being. When the air gets thinner, and it's a strange thing, you know, once you get like 12,000 feet, 13,000 feet, it's like taking a drinking straw and put it in your mouth and just breathe through that. But now, like, go sprint down the street just breathing through the straw, and it's so hard to get enough air in. That's what it feels like. And it's scary when you stop, because it takes so long to recover. There's just not much oxygen up there, and it gets thinner and thinner the higher you go.
I assume you carry something with you in case you can't breathe.
Yeah, our guides did have oxygen. None of us needed it. We were fortunate. None of us had to resort to the supplemental oxygen. But yeah, it was there just in case. These guys were pretty well equipped, and they test us daily medically, right? So they're checking our oxygen levels, our pulse. You know, are we eating enough? Are we sleeping? Are we going to the bathroom properly? All that kind of stuff, which is its own challenge. You know, when you're out there on the mountain, you're like, oh boy, really get to appreciate a toilet.
So what's for dinner?
Yeah, so they fed us well. I mean, they had like rice and chicken and soups, very salty soups, but they were good. And plantains, which they cook when they're very green, so it's it tastes just like a potato. But lots of starch, and they had this really great meal called nogali, which is this it's like a cornstarch. It looks like a pile of mashed potatoes, but it's just very starchy calories, which is all you need because you're burning them just walking all day long. So we had that. We had juices and we had eggs in the morning. I don't know who didn't drop the eggs, but God bless them for getting them there day after day. And so there was food and we ate pretty well. But the higher up we got, the more inward the journey got and the more sort of spiritual it became. And I almost felt like this pilgrim, you know, as we get up to these higher altitudes, because at one point around day four, two of our 12 people had to turn back down. They just weren't handling the altitude. And it's one of those things that you don't know how you're going to deal with it till you get there. You can't really train for altitude short of going to it.
Let me ask you a question here. If you bail, yeah. If you have to bail,
mm-hmm.
They have like one of the guides will take you back. How's it work?
Yeah, one of the guides will walk you down. And if you're having trouble with altitude, the good news is just any degree lower, 500 feet lower, 1,000 feet lower, it gets exponentially easier. There's more air down there. There's more air starts getting into your body. And so in a matter of just an hour or two, you can start feeling a lot better once you get to lower elevations. So, yeah, two people had to turn back. And that's scary, too, because you realize, wow, that could have been me.
We've got more to come. The Call of Kilimanjaro. With Gene, Jeff, and Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
If you are trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.